Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlight, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're talking about redigging the wells today. And just what God is saying. And you think about it, so you had Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, Abraham dug wells, you know, and then Jacob. Remember, even Jacob's wells, remember Jesus walking up to the to the lady who was drinking, the Samaritan lady was drinking at what? Jacob's well.
The well.
And but with that, you know, it's so significant because we're talking about, you know, what God is doing, his spirit. When you talk about water, you know, from your belly will flow living waters.
Rivers.
The well of God is within us. Then you say like 80% of our body is made up from water and all. And, but understand that redigging the wells, I think about what they're doing in Birmingham. They were talking about redigging the wells, you know, that's going on up there. And, but what he says in Genesis, when he's talking about redigging the wells, and this is one thing the Lord's been just really laying, you know, you're wondering what God's doing with you, right? You're wondering what he's doing and the fullness of it, because you're like playing a part in his whole story and you want to be faithful to whatever he's called you to do. And, but redigging the wells is honoring what God has done while you're diving into what God is going to do. It's not shunning what God has done and degrading those that have carried the mantle, and it's actually appreciating what God has done, understanding it's God. You know what I'm saying? It's God. And so with that, you know, we want to think, we want to honor what God has done and is doing and is going to do. And there's some awesome things. But first, just thinking about, I think about Rick Joyner. They had a conference in Morningstar Ministries about, you know, honoring fathers. And they went back in, you know, God's generals that we're familiar with, that Robert Slearden wrote about. And they talked about
John G. Lake.
Yeah, John G. Lake, Brannon. And they even had this one particular man that was ministering there. You probably know his name. I can't remember his name. But God took him back in a vision and showed him in Brannon's room when the angel came to Brannon and said, "Now it's time for you to go."
Was it Paul Keith Davis?
It could have been. No, it wasn't Paul Keith. It could have been, you know. I don't know if he was in his body or out of the body. But either way, I'm not quoting me, I'm quoting them. And so hopefully we'll make a related link on this so you can find out, you know, hear it yourself. But in it, there came a moment in time where the Lord basically said, he may have even said, "You made a mess of things." I don't know what it was, but I'm going to pull you. It's time for you to come home. And he asked, "Oh, no, you know, whatever." And then his wife had passed. And then, you know, there comes a time, you know, and you have to understand, we're flawed vessels. But everybody that's been used by God, even Elijah, you know, the word of God says in James that he was a man just like you're a man. And so God uses folks like you and me and whoever. And so, which should put the fear of God in you and think, "I'm a man, I can mess this up," right?
Dear God,
you know, help me. Which should make us create humility in our life to say, the only way then that God can use me if I humble myself and just say, "Here I am, God, I can't, you know, that type of thing. And so in one way to participate from my experience and from sharing, hearing others share their experience, is understanding what God has already done. I mean, that's why you read the Bible. The Bible is something God has done, and it builds our faith for what he is going to do. And so somebody says, "Well, I don't want to hear anything what God has done." The whole Bible is about what God has done, and it has prophecy about what he's going to do. So to cut off, you know, anything that God has done, call it history, it's like, brother, the Bible about the history of God.
Hello.
And so you don't get so caught up in the now that you forget how the now got here.
Sure.
Because all of a sudden you'll end up and go adrift. And so just thinking about what the Lord has done and honoring that and redigging the wells. You think about Isaac, you know, Isaac had to go out where his father was and reopen the wells that have been dug, have been buried, redug the wells that his father Abraham had dug. But he had to, the Philistines went and buried those wells. Mm. And when you hear Philistines, when you read about Philistines in the Old Testament, think about this. People that are moving out of their own mind, their own flesh, mm-hmm. you know, King James folks, the carnality of their reality. You know what I'm saying? They're moving out of what they seems right to them, but it's not God.
Right.
And or it's just going to be people all outright attacking the church. But seldom, it's normally religion that normally attacks, you know, what's going on. But the Philistines, they went and buried the water, the access to the water. And it makes me think about the torch and the sword, the vision, the torch and the sword. You know, when Rick Joyner was, you know, speaking about the vision that God had taken. You've got to get the torch and the sword and read it, because you want to be this 12-year-old girl. You know, you want to be that brave young girl. And but in that, there was a lot of muddy water where there was good water there at one time. But the church, the sheep were basically, the people were drinking out of muddy wells that have been dirtied up. And what dirties up, and you think about the water, it's the teachings. It's the fresh flow of God's spirit in your life. And so the water gets muddied up. It gets muddied up by false teachings. You know, the leaders get in sin and they start saying, well, you know, let's just focus, you know, let's forget. And next thing you know, it's like, is this mud? We can make mud pies with this message. Anyway, but understand, those are still God's folks, and God's wanting to bring them into clear water. And so when you're talking about redigging the wells, you're talking about getting down to the fresh water. I remember when they were digging a well. I mean, you have lots of water on your property.
Not anymore.
But they get to go down so deep to get to the water that's drinkable. And it's so few people are willing to go that deep in God. You know, they just want to, like, you know, I hit water, let's drink it, and everybody dies. Like, you can't drink that water. That's trash water. That's a runnage. That's just stuff skimmed off the top. It's got to go through all those layers of how God's designed it to get down to the drinkable water. But some people just say it's kind of muddy, but I can get some sort of device going. I can, you know, it's good enough. It's wet. Sure. I'm thirsty. I need something. And it does bring, you know, liquid to your body.
It seems right.
But there's a pure water. That's a pure water that flows, you know, from the throne of God. Mm-hmm. And there is a river, as he talks about, that flows from the throne of God that brings life. And so when we're talking about redigging the wells, we're talking about that river of freshness. And so when you talk about redigging the wells, we're not talking about going to the ground and digging. We're talking about going into our hearts and going into the body and say, you know, let's get into the word of God and let's get back into what God has said. But the Philistines went and plugged the wells. And so Abraham's son, you know, Isaac, had to decide, you know, am I going to, you know, do a new thing? Am I going to just, like, you know, that was dad and that was, oh, look at the music that they played. And, you know, I want something with my own name on it.
Right.
You know, I want my name up in lights. You know, if I dig that well, they're going to think that's him and it's not me. If it was God, they're going to know it's God and not you. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. By the way, you don't want to put your name on it. This is what Peter, you know, I think it was Peter that said, was it Peter or John?
James and John.
Actually, his mama. Mama, please, mama.
Sit down.
But
you're embarrassing me.
They're going like, can you have a new wells dug on the side of you where my two sons can sit on the side of you, Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
And, and of course, Jesus said, you don't even know what you're asking. You don't even know what you're asking. And really, none of us know what we're asking. The question is, if it requires your death for his life and people, are you willing to give it? Do you want him to do what he does so awesomely, so bad, that you're willing to lay down your life for it? And because that will require you to lay down your life for it. And when it's said and done, since that was your already measured out price, then you're going like, cool, you know, that's what I wanted to do. That was fulfilled. That is a true man or woman of God's white picket fence. It's like, that is, you know, you're in heaven. It's a gold picket fence in heaven. Anyway, so, so he had to go redig these wells, which means we need to be able to honor what God has done in our fathers. And I know that it's very specifically, and we're going to talk about this in the next program. You got to catch it, that in the Gulf Coast region, and I think about Pensacola, God called us. So the word of God established us and made room for us. We'll be talking about in a region that we labored for years, and with the Malachi Mandate and all the things that had happened with the Brownsville revival and, you know, things that's going on. But he established us in what he's doing. We're going to talk about that. But with that, there's fathers involved in this. There's those that have labored. Don't think that whatever you began is not connected to what was. I mean, it's because it all goes back. Your sin goes back to the garden, and the move of God goes back to Abraham. Okay. And so it's all connected. And if you want to get rid of, you know, you know what I'm saying?
Hey.
You know, if you got to connect to the sin lineage, you got to connect to the God lineage. And so we're going to be going to this next program and talking about that because we want to honor fathers. And there's the two fathers that I know of in the city. Is Brother Ken Summerall, who labored for years and had this harsh desire, and he's with the Lord now. And I know one who led the Brownsville revival that shook the world.
That's right.
Is Brother John Kilpatrick, who is also a spiritual father to me. And I just want you to learn from them that have walked before us and understand that, you know, what's the cost going to be? And are we willing to pay it? You know, are we willing to give God the glory? Are we willing to say, because we talked about the Lighthouse Prophecy and what God is saying about that region, which is like the womb, according to Yolanda, we'll talk to her more in the future, of the nation, that it requires 700 ministers to walk in unity with no strife and no division and no jealousy, no envy. And that was the big thing. Oh, my goodness. But let's just believe God for that. Let's just believe that God's going to do something. Right. And Prayer Mountain, Fire Mountain will be established. Amen. So the whole nation, that tsunami will come. We're talking about redigging the wells, and we're going to continue the conversation. It's so important to think about it because we're honoring those that have labored that are still with us and those that have gone already to be with the Lord. You think about Steve Hill. We talked about his memorial. And we're hoping this week sometime we'll be able to play maybe a 7-minute memorial just to hear, you know, what was happening. But redigging the wells, as we were talking about in an earlier program, you got to catch it, is, you know, going back to the original intent of God, getting in the Word of God. You know, what's the fresh Word of God? And it's not like taking your shovel and digging in the ground somewhere, but you can use that analogy. And you got to go deep enough in God to get pure water. You know, you can't just stop at you know, that's muddy water. Right. And some people just go, you know, that's just too much. I don't want to put that kind of energy, that kind of finance, that kind of, you know, it's going to take a lot of my life. Besides, I have the I and the me and the my stuff I'm working on. And but understand there's a tsunami. There's a tsunami coming to America, I believe, of God's glory. Tidal waves. I mean, think about this. This, you know, when I saw the tsunami that they show in the news clip of the Indian Ocean, it is like a swell that comes up, and we're all just like microdots on this earth. It's amazing, and it's swell, and then it just kind of pushes its way on land, and it doesn't matter whether you are a preacher or a prostitute, a pimp or a store owner, or you know, living in a condo or a shack. It just pushed through all of it, which is, it was horrific, by the way, when you saw that take place. But now imagine the glory of God just coming like that,
right?
Where all of a sudden, you know, people just pull their cars over and begin to cry out to God when schools break out in revival and cry out. And we've seen the children. We've seen the children. Oh, yeah. God has shown us visions of children standing up in crowds and preaching the gospel and the power of God just. And we've seen right now, right?
Mowing people down.
Not only in the vision, we're actually seeing children now hear from God. And deliver such a power, because it's what they're hearing from God when they speak what God said. It's just powerful. It just penetrates the heart and it makes you, oh, yeah, that's God. And so redigging the wells, we're talking about that. And you, so redigging the wells of our fathers, because when you look at, in Genesis, when he's talking about Isaac redigging the wells of his father Abraham in Genesis 26, 18 through 22, it's Abraham, the father of faith's wells that were dug. And remember, Abraham was on a faith journey, walking, and get thee up and go, and I'll show you. So, excuse me. So in that, he had to go back where his father was. It's like you can't. You got to connect to what God has done, so you can. That will bring into what God's going to do.
Right.
You can't just shun what God has done.
Right.
And think, is that strange fire? You know, what are you doing? And
it's dishonoring.
Well, it's dishonoring to God in the context of that. But it's, and think about this. This is what God said. He says, if I'm your father, where's my honor?
That's right.
And look at America. America, it's the fatherlessness in America in the natural sense, the absence of the father in the natural sense, but also the absence and the dishonoring of spiritual fathers in the Lord. And it's like, you know, when honor gets right, when we, you know, I can, if you tell me who you honor, I can tell you your destiny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and somebody who's a single mindedness and not honoring folks, they're honoring themselves. It's like, well, you're just bearing witness of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And even Jesus didn't even do that. Mm-hmm. Jesus allowed his father to affirm and said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. I mean, if the Son of God didn't do that, who is affirming you? Who is saying that this is right? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Who's saying that this is my son in whom I'm well pleased and whom I love? And you know you want it, but you're going to have to be the son. You know, you can't, the father's not going to hunt you up. The son is that one that actually looks for the father. And we're not talking anything freaky here. We're just talking about what God joins together for the purpose of his will. It's called family. And when the church family gets right, you know, Jesus said, when they knocked on the door, they said, your family's outside, you know, your mother and your brother. And most people go, yep, that's your family, Jesus. Mm-hmm. But Jesus said, who is my family? And that's the question you got to begin to ask. Appreciate and honor those who are in close proximity and even biologically related to you, and thank God for them being saved. If they are, that means they're in part of your family, the family of God. Mm-hmm. But understand the family, there's a family. Father God, elder brother Jesus Christ, the head of the church. And we are children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're sons of God. Think about that. That's huge. We're in the family. And so when family seems strange to you and organization seems right to you, it's because the enemy has damaged your understanding of family. And you got to begin to rediscover, and you got to redig the well. When you talk about the seven mountains of the culture, well, one of those mountains is the family mountain.
Mm-hmm.
If we just get the family mountain right, forget about the government mountain, the media mountain. Let's get the family mountain right, because you can have the government going right, but your family blows up, and everything's, the church family blows up. Your natural family can blow up if they're not, don't fire fall on God. I'm talking about the family of God, the people who love God, who are not operating as family, don't have the family mountain conquered in their own heart, and don't understand how to relate and how to honor, then who cares about the other mountains right now? Because you're going to be defeated before you even get there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying, right? Mm-hmm. And so redigging these wells, we're talking about honoring those that have gone before us, and it can go all the way back. And it's amazing how things are connected. When you see folks today, for example, well, I'm not going to name some certain names because there's so much dishonor out there. If you name some names, people immediately, judgments and criticisms come up. But I can speak specifically about, you know, Ken Summerall, Brother Ken Summerall, spiritual father to me that labored for years over the region where God called and established the VFN Dream Center and Apostolic Center to be able to do what he's going to do in the nation and the region. And his heart's desire was always for, you know, to see the kingdom expand and to see the family grow and the family of God grow. And he was always frustrated because of that people would build their kingdoms. Mm-hmm. They would build their kingdoms and they wouldn't launch out. They wouldn't, you know, there was just in his vision over when he first had the encounter with the well. You know, he got filled with the river of God, and the pure water was flowing through him. It just washed him out of right where he was into his destiny. And then eventually a school was birthed to be able to do what his heart was, which was to train and launch, which was Liberty College, Liberty Bible College back then. And so his passion was to just, you know, you got God, get rightly related, get connected, you know, get discipled, get trained up, and go tell somebody about this Jesus who loves them and has a plan for their life.
Mm-hmm.
But as things begin to plant and you know, churches begin to get established, all of a sudden it became centrifugal, I guess it's called, right? Or whatever that word was.
Yeah.
And it's self-focused, and it's like, you know, we got to get new carpet. if we get new carpet here and, you know, the PowerPoint, I'm for PowerPoints, they're very helpful. And, you know, whatever. And you're just, it's just like, how many more times are we going to change the chairs here before we actually pull chairs out and say, you're going to have to go out?
Right.
But that doesn't work unless you're rightly related. I mean, it does what happens. And so redigging that wells, I know that he labored, and I remember we were sitting around a unified table. Remember the Malachi mandate with the father and son, the Malachi?
Yes. Know,
and we're sitting around a table, mm-hmm. maybe 70 leaders. We had governmental leaders there. We had church leaders there. We had military leaders there. We had law enforcement. Yeah. We had business folks. And this is what Brother Ken said, who had labored for all these years. He says, I've never seen such unity. I've never seen such unity. And we were so busy working, I had to just listen to him because we were working so hard.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, because we'd never right. seen. But understand, though, because he labored so hard and Brother John Kilpatrick labored so hard that the current flowed like a double portion, I guess you would say, almost like a yeah. it just, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, something that he had never seen before was taking place in front of him, but it's because of being rightly related. Mm. But it's also because of honoring him. I mean, he was a very cool man. He was a very great father in the Lord. And so, so he's looking at what he'd never seen before coming out of the next generation of what's going on. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we had spiritual vandals that came in.
Right.
And people who didn't understand how to honor what God was doing and didn't understand, this is all us. Mm. This is there's only one church. You know what I'm saying? Really, this is one church, and it's the church of Ephesus, the church of Galatia. And it's like, this is a good thing. Let's. And all of a sudden, because of that self-focus, all of a sudden, it literally just vandalizes that. Mm. Right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, what's going on? In the name of doing it, vandalizing it. And so, and that is dishonor. That is to dishonor what Brother Ken had labored for years and what birthed out of the Malachi mandate. Because remember, it first birthed in his heart. He was at a conference, a businessman's conference in Alabama. And he was going to go minister to some ministers at a business, like Full Gospel, yes. businessman's meeting. Mm-hmm. And he was in his hotel and he was praying about, you know, what do I need to do? And then all of a sudden God broke his heart. He broke his heart and began to speak to him. We come back from this break. I'm going to tell you what the Lord said to him. We're talking about redigging the wells. And, right before the break, we're talking about, you know, what did Ken Summerall, what did God speak to him before he went to go speak to that Full Gospel businessmen's meeting? Because he was going to minister there. God broke his heart, and he broke his heart for these ministers. He just all of a sudden had this heart, the Father's heart for these ministers. And the Lord spoke specifically, and I can't, and we'll have it for you eventually, but the exact words I'm not going to be able to quote to you. But what he broke his heart for them and said that they're fatherless. They're lonely. They have no one. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're listening right now and you're thinking, you know, you gave your life to God, you wanted to do something for God, and you went for it, and that's cool, but you're realizing you're alone. And I'm at the very beginning of time. God said it's not good for man to be alone. Mm. And maybe you went off and got married thinking that was going to resolve things. And now, you know, because you look to that to fix the ministry, and maybe the enemy's even using your marriage to be able to come against the very thing that you're doing versus, you know, what brings health into this? And it's being rightly related. And he says in Malachi, the word of God says that before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, right now the coming of the Lord seems almost like close. And for a friend of mine, he's already gone to be with the Lord. He just passed away. I mean, you just don't know when your day is going to be. But he says, before that day comes, he said, I will send Elijah. And he's talking about, you know, the spirit of Elijah, the, you know, Jesus, what Jesus is doing, spirit of Jesus, and prophecy. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, or else he'll smite the earth with a curse. And so think about this. It's not just natural fathers, because if Jesus said, who's my father, who's my family, and it wasn't biological, some people kind of just immediately look at everything in the natural sense. God's a spirit, and those that worship him in spirit and truth. Let me tell you, what you don't see is more real than what you do see. Mm. and understand that he's a spirit, and he's speaking spiritually here in the context of that, so you can understand not only the natural fathers may or may not turn, because he said, or else I'll smite the earth with the curse, but begin to say, dear God, if I'm called to be a father in the Lord, if I'm called to be a mother in the Lord, if I'm called to be, if there's somebody I'm supposed to connect to and relate to, and there's nothing, I mean, God speaks to you, yeah, and speaks, it's nothing like, though, to have that affirming voice that where it's not just you. He says, let things be established with two witnesses. Mm-hmm. And so when you're hearing from God, but if God has called you, and that's how you know, God's called you to relate to someone, he will speak to them too. Mm-hmm. And then your spirit will bear witness with their spirit, and God's witness will bear your spirit will bear witness. It's like, okay, this is a confident direction. This is where I'm going to go with this. Mm-hmm. And it's time no longer to be fatherless. I mean, how are you going to think about this? How are you going to continue to minister to those in your fellowship who are ending up more and more fatherless every single day? Men are becoming more and more absent. You're fatherless. You're refusing to get rightly related. And they just become more and more like you every day. And all of a sudden, you just have this huge orphanage going on. And you're feeding folks, but you can't do everything because you aren't being in that family that you need to be, because we're all called to be able to do that. And so it's important. Just, you know, begin to pray. Say, dear Lord, you know, I'd like, maybe you're called to be a father. If you don't have one, I like what Mike Bickle said. If you've been looking for 20 years to find one, be one, you know, and in the context of, you know, following God and doing what God is saying, but just love someone. And this is what a father wants, a true father wants, a father in the Lord, and a natural, healthy father wants. They're not in competition with you. Your success is their success. That's they right. want you to succeed greater, then go, you know, that's my boy, that's my girl. Mm-hmm. And an orphan, or, you know, somebody who's fatherless, who struggles with their identity, and they're thinking what they do is who they are, and God loves me more because I'm doing more now, they're intimidated by your success, and it's difficult. They cannot celebrate your success. And the very one that you love will end up being in competition with you, and that's not family. That's dysfunctional family. And so that's what that is. And so you'll have somebody who's wants to impart into you and bears witness what's inside of you. And like Paul did Timothy, Paul said, you know, fan into flame that which is inside of you. And you can know that if you truly are rightly related, that you can have confidence, because this is a big thing going on with enemies. You're going to constantly fight for your confidence. I mean, you'll look back over times and go, it's amazing that I even made it at the time, because I had to dig through everything. Where's my confidence? You see my confidence. But when you're rightly related, you're rightly related, you can have confidence. I mean, it's just nothing like family. Mm-hmm. And even Jesus had family when he's walking. That's I was right. faithful with those you entrusted to me. And so I just want to encourage you, just begin to pray now. Be a part of the end time move of God by getting rightly related to those which God has called you to be related to. You got the church thing down. You got the religious thing down. You can teach. I mean, you'll teach if no one's even listening, you know, but in regards to about family, and family's your reward. Family's your reward. And if you're intimidated about redigging the wells of our fathers and being connected to what our fathers have done and are doing, then that means, you know, that's not healthy. That's a muddy stream. And it could be a flash in the pan. You know, something can happen, because the kingdom of God is within us. Mm-hmm. You have to understand this. The kingdom of God is within the believer. So you could actually do something that actually stirs me. And because God's inside of me and it stirs my faith, you know, things can happen. I can get healed. As a matter of fact, Jesus said many people are going to come to him in the last days and say, you know, a lot of people, the kingdom was moving a lot of folks. Sure. But for you, I never knew you. Mm-hmm. So you cannot determine where you are in God based off of someone else has an experience or Absolutely. How well your gift is moving. You determine where you are in God is whether how do you love folks. I mean, think about Bob Jones. Of all the things that God could have said to Bob Jones when he stood before the throne room of God, you know, in the 70s, he said, did you learn to love? And if you got a whole bunch of fear and paranoia and all that kind of stuff, you know, it's because you're alone. You're not meant to be alone. You know, you're meant to be. God says it's not good for you to be alone. You need to be rightly related. You got to love folks. I mean, authentically love folks. So when you get close to people, you know, you find out, you know, stuff in your life. You find out flaws in your life. And those are the things you allow that the rubbing of the stones, as Mark Canby would say, you know, it's the smoothing of those stones. Mm-hmm. And so if you're intimidated and you just would just shut down in regards to redigging the wells, you know, and you're settling for muddy water and emotional, you know, unctions and measuring yourself by someone else's experience and God by your ability to stir the kingdom in them, then, you know, I just want to encourage you, find family, get connected. This is, you know, you're going to be really shocked too. We are actually all going to be together forever. You know,
it's like, catch a clue.
You're going to get to heaven. You're like, how did you get here? It's like, we're family, man.
That's right. We're family.
You
know? Familia.
Yeah. Come on. Let's have a cup. Let's talk, you know.
That's right.
You know, you avoided me when I, you know, but here we are. We got 1,000 years. Let's spend 1,000 years together.
Hey.
You know, that's something. That's going to be something, ain't it? And so redigging the wells, and we're talking about redigging the wells. And I say that because, you know, when Brother Ken's heart was broken, like I said, at that fellowship gathering of ministers, and the Lord told him they're fatherless and they're alone, that was the beginning of what he stepped out of organization and got into organism, which is family. Family's not an organization. It's an organism. It's living. It functions in some context, but it's family. It doesn't have like father over the bedroom door, but everybody in the household knows that's the father. You know, mm-hmm. Like, you know, and, for example, but then you think about what he saw sitting around in the next generation, because he broke that well in his generation. And the next generation, when he sat around that table with 70 leaders, you know, government, military, law enforcement, ministers, corporations, small business, big business, all that, 70 leaders. I have never seen such unity in all my life, he said. He saw that because of being rightly related. Understand this.
Yeah.
If you want to see something bigger than has ever happened before, connect to what God has already done. Get rightly related. Borrow from the wisdom of those that have gone before us. Let them mentor us in the direction that we're going, so that we're not a flash in the pan. And God loves it. As a matter of fact, this is what he says. He says, when you dwell together in that kind of unity, in that kind of family unity, he said that it's good and it's pleasing and it's the place of the commanded blessing. We're talking about redigging the wells of our fathers and how Isaac did that in regards to Abraham. And Genesis, when I think it was Genesis 26, 18 through 22, you got to catch all the programs, four programs back to back. But Isaac, he went out and reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father, Abraham, which the Philistines stopped up. So when you read about Philistines, think about the works of the flesh. You know, think about the enemies of God and doing things. And there, you know, Jesus said himself, there'll be days that people kill you and think they're doing me a favor, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so in a religious kind of format in the context of that. But Isaac's servant went out to the same valley, went to the same wells, and began to redig those wells. And what was interesting was, you know, prior to that, there was no conflicts going on. No conflicts going on at all. But as soon as they dug, he dug the first well, when he was digging the first well, the herdsmen began to argue over it. And it's like, you know, listen, if God is pouring out his river somewhere on the earth, celebrate it.
Hello.
Just be thankful, be grateful, and you know, do whatever you need to do to honor God in the context of that. Survival, by the way, would be rightly related, you know, in the context of mm-hmm. that. But in the second, it was interesting, they began to argue over the stream and the river. But I remember mm-hmm. the word that was given by Jeremiah Johnson out of Lakeland, and he talked about there'll be rivalry before there's revival. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's what's happening right here, because this first well that Isaac redug of his father, the name of the well is Essek.
Essek,
which means dispute. So he literally named the first move of God dispute.
Wow.
The first outpouring, the movement was dispute. And it's like, you know, I don't want to be a part of that one. I want mm-hmm. to be a part of one we're going to talk about a little bit more. And he said they began to quarrel over it, and they said, this water is ours, and this water is ours. And that also reminds me of another word that we'll make available to you on this post on the torch about Jeremiah Johnson gave, that Joe Miller, that leads the 40 Days of Prayer and Fasting, a businessman in Pensacola, who's got a lot of positive things to say about the city. If you want to hear about what God's doing in the city, he's definitely a man to talk to. But he turned me on to what Jeremiah Johnson was saying, and he talked about that there's this wall, mm-hmm. you know, being built up. And you got to see it. We'll make that word available to you. But basically, this wall's got to come down, which is humility, mm-hmm. which we just heard even in the break. And they're saying, you know, China's praying that we would be humbled.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And their prayer is probably going to be answered. Well, is going to be answered. Mm-hmm. But God has a move he wants to pour out in America, but also in the panhandle of Florida is what he's specifically talking about. You got to see this whole world. It really encouraged me when Joe shared it with me. And it's encouraging those that I'm sharing it with. So we'll make sure that you actually get it. Maybe we'll even read it to you in the programs. But the first particular move of God, or the outpouring and redigging of the well, of digging the Father's well, now, not some strange water, no strange fire type thing, was there was quarreling over it. And so he actually named that well, the definition of that word, Essek, means dispute. Mm-hmm. Don't give up because, you know, dispute's happening. You know, just hang in there and realize, just don't be a part of it. Don't be a part of disputing type thing. Mm-mm. And then he goes and he begins to dig another well. And they begin to quarrel over this one also. So he's just redigging the wells of his father. And people are actually arguing over it. And it's like, first of all, you'd think, this is my father's well. I mean, why would you even want to drink from this? I mean, it's not your father's well. Isaac's able to say, this is Jacob's well. You know, see, we got this, that's my, you know,
right.
God of Abraham and Isaac, you know, and so it said, but, and so he named this well because they were quarreling over the second well. So he's doing the right thing. We're digging the wells of the Father, and understand, even when you're doing that, people are going to give you a real hard time. And the word was by Jeremiah Johnson, there'll be rivalry before there's revival and humility before there's an outpouring. And this particular well is called, what's the name of this one?
Rehoboth.
And it's Sitna. This particular second well is Sitna. And this well means opposition. So think about it. The first thing I did for God, the first move of God was called what? Dispute.
Mm-hmm.
How many people give up? It's like, you know, I did that. And, you know, people just went crazy and they started attacking me and all that kind of stuff. And you didn't have the fortitude. You didn't have the relationships. You didn't, especially, I can imagine he was digging his father's well. He wasn't digging his own. Mm-hmm. I can imagine you're not going to survive any disputes if you're on your own, right?
Come on.
And so, but just, and I pray you do, but I'm just talking about the context of that. So dispute came with proper order. There's still a dispute. People claimed it as their own. So they begin to fight over it. And the second well he dug was named opposition.
Mm.
It's like, you know, welcome to the first opposition of the, you know, he says, like, we just want to appreciate the disputed move of God and then the opposition that came against the next time, you know, God was moving and he's redigging the wells of the Father. But I want to talk to you about this third well.
Mm.
And it's so exciting. He didn't give up, and you can't give up. You got to hold in there and just stay humble, which means totally dependent on God and respect folks and just, you know, just do like Mary, ponder things in your heart, hope for the best, realize we're all family, and pray for people, and pray for the church. I'm seeing great things happen in the church, you know, at large. It's exciting.
Yes.
She's alive! So he digs another well, and they begin to quarrel over it, and he said, he named this one
Rehoboth.
Rehoboth, which means room, meaning, and this is what he says in Genesis 26:18-22, he says, now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in the land. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Now the Lord has given us room. It's like, what? It's the same valley. It's the same place. It's the same wells of his father. But something happens because you hold in there and you don't turn your back on what God has already done. And you connect to and you rightly relate and you honor those that have gone before you. And honoring whatever you do to the least of these are mine, Jesus said, you do it to me. So to dishonor a father in the Lord is to dishonor God. It's not an individual, you know, and it's not about your feelings, right? Mm. It's not about your feelings. Nope. Pat taught us that, right?
Oh, yes, he did.
We are over getting our feelings hurt. We're always joking. Sometimes. Anyway, but think about it. So he didn't give up, and all of a sudden he's digging, he's doing the work of the ministry. He's redigging the wells, mm-hmm. that flow that comes, the river that flows from the throne of God that brings the healing. And all of a sudden, despite the dispute, despite the opposition, this well was about making room in the very same land to flourish in what's going on. And it was so cool because I know that when God was speaking to us in regards to the disputes, in regards to the opposition, and in regards to like, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And when he basically said, listen, this is what I'm going to do. You know, this thing is going to be Rehoboth for you. It's going to be a place there's going to be room for you. And then you're going to flourish because this is where I'm going to establish you, you know, in the Gulf Coast. And it was amazing what it was, just the same place, same fathers, same everything, but just staying steadfast and listening to what God says. And also in this whole different aspect of flow of the well and the freshness and the anointing, if you would, and what God is doing. I want to encourage you, you know, that, you know, honor the fathers that have gone before you. I mean, understand that if that was God, then to dishonor them is to dishonor what God did. Mm-hmm. And listen, since, I mean, if you don't know this or not, you're flawed. You know, I'm flawed. We're all flawed. And so you can focus on people's flaws, or you can focus on their clay, or you can focus on God puts his all surpassing power in jars of clay to show that it's him that's doing this mighty move of God, not the individual, but God is using them because of whatever reason he chose to do that. And honoring them is honoring what God has done.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we need to, I mean, think how beautiful that would be, that we would honor what God has done, you know. And, you know, and God himself said, you know, if I'm your father, you know, where is my honor? That's what he says in Malachi. And that's just a driving force in the context of what, you know, God has been saying. You think about this, that the body, even our own bodies, how we're made, how God designed us, they say that we're 70% water.
Mm.
70% water.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. 70% water. And at birth, water accounts for about 80% of the infant's body weight. 80%.
Wow.
Which means you take away the water, then all you have is 20% of mass left that's there.
Wow.
And God says, you know, when you're talking about the water, you're talking about the water of his spirit. He says, from your belly will flow. Just ask me if you're really thirsty at this well, ma'am, at Jacob's well. If you're really thirsty, if you want to go back to the Father's well, and is at the Father's well where she was beginning to drink, he says, I can give you water that you'll never thirst again.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe this tsunami of the glory of the water and the wave of God is going to go across this land. And we're believing for a great awakening.
That's
we're going
right.
to believe that, hey, you're going to say yes to God. We've been talking about redigging the wells, and we talked about, you know, redigging the wells of our fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't that encouraging and exciting to be able to hear, you know, as we're just exploring, you know, what does that mean? And you think about it, it's honoring what God has done, connecting to what he has done so that there's a double portion of that. And you're hearing all the context of that. But also it's what Isaac did. Isaac went to redig the wells of his father. But this is the big thing. I mean, it's just such a shocker when you first begin to do something for God that the first thing that happens is dispute.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you don't have relationship, it's hard to get through that because you're trying to figure out why in the world would people who profess to be followers of God, who say they love Jesus, and they may even be ministers, why would they be disputing with you? And you may be just this downcast and sad. It's like it happened to Isaac. The first well he dug was called dispute.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, well, great. Okay, I got that figured out. Now, you know, I'm going to go after God. I'm going to just do what it takes and dig into God's word and pray like, you know, Charles Seymour did with his Azusa Street Revival. And cry out to God, and this one comes, and it's named opposition.
Mm.
I mean, you can hear more about this. Literally, the second well he dug, he named it opposition. Dispute and opposition. And some people give up. It's like, that's it. You know,
I've had dispute.
I mean, some people get offended, and they think, well, you know, I really don't care about these folks anymore.
Wow.
Know? And the truth was, that's your big test. The big test is, do you still love?
Mm.
And the Lord is, you know, why would God use you if you don't even love him? You know what I'm saying? And you don't even have a knowledge of his love for you. Because how are you going to communicate the love of God to someone when you don't even know the love of God?
Mm.
And the love of God makes it past disputes.
Yeah.
It makes it well beyond opposition. It doesn't just, because you get opposition, you don't love anymore.
Right. It gets tested. God's love gets tested.
And how many marriages, you know, going, a little dispute happening, a little opposition, and all of a sudden they just throw in the towel.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, how many, you know, church swappers? You know, that a little mm-hmm. dispute, a little opposition, and all of a sudden you're bouncing around and you don't know it. The pastors, you know, we know each other. And so you're going like, yeah, she's in mine now,
right.
You know, give her a week. Anyway, so in the context of that, it's like, it's because you got to hang in there. I mean, go where God's called you to relate, wherever that is.
No doubt.
and then just, you know, get in there and just say, I'm here. I am connected. God, speak to me, plant me, root me. I'm ready to do what you're established here in the context of that. But the last one, you stay steadfast and don't give up with the well of dispute, the well of opposition. You keep digging and you get to that pure water where all of a sudden now God makes room for you. And no matter what happens, there is room for you. And he says, your gift will make room for you. And God establishes you in the context of that. And it makes me think of this because, you know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, Abraham dug those wells. And then you had Isaac redig these wells. But isn't it interesting, the Samaritan woman, all these years later, thousands of years later, you know, think about it. All these years later, God is going to speak to us. And he's going to speak to us in his heart and how he's speaking to this Samaritan woman. Who is drawing water from where? She's drawing water from Jacob's well. Mm. I mean, God went, all, Jesus went all the way. And you're trying not to go, listen, Jesus went all the way back to Jacob. Because it's him. That's right. The water. That's his spirit, you know? I mean, how can you think about it? And so he goes all the way to the Samaritan woman who's drinking the water from their father's well, Jacob's well. And, which is also Israel, when you think about it. And he says, but I can give you a stream. I can give you water. If you ask of me, I could give you water to drink that you'll never thirst again. It's all about wells. Yeah. Think about it. It's all about wells. But what if she wasn't by the wells of the fathers? I mean, there was other women around at other wells.
Sure.
There was other things going on, but she was at the father's well. Right?
Yeah.
Imagine. And it's exciting when you think about it. And it's like, you know, he says, this is what he said about Elijah and Elisha. He says, if you're still with me, because there was a school going on. There was a school of prophets and, you know, people were learning, this is how you prophesy. That's not right. This is right. And, you know, and, but there was an Elijah and Elisha relationship when they both were prophets. They abided with the Lord and they shared what God said. And so Elisha said to Elijah, he said, or vice versa, Elijah said to Elijah, he said, the younger one said, he said, Lord, I am like, why can't it be Bob and Steve? Anyway, so and you think about it. And so he said, you know, I want your mantle, you know, and he says, listen, if you're with me, and you can imagine.
Elisha.
Thank you. We appreciate that. And so he said, I want, you know, your mantle when you, you know, and your, he says, if you're with me, he says, if you're with me, think about that. If you're with me,
if
you're with me when I go, if you're with me, what does that mean? If you're related,
right.
If you're still connected, if you can put up with all the things that I'm having to go through to follow God and all the scars of dealing. He had to deal with Jezebel. He had to deal with Baal, prophets of Baal. He had to call down fire and then run for his life. He had to go through depression. He had to go through cave experiences, you know, fire and earthquake and, you know, all these different things going on. He had to come out of that in the fathering aspect. He began to father Elisha. And he had to do these different things. And it's like, you can imagine how sad he was because we're just human. And you want so bad for God's folks to respond. He says, listen, choose who you're going to serve.
That's right.
And they're still struggling. They're still, you know, Jezebel's still in play. And it wasn't going to be his son, spiritual son, who was actually going to anoint Jehu, who was going to go deal with this. But he didn't get to see it in the context of that. And on earth, you didn't get to see it. And so because they stay related, because they stay connected. And understand this, when Elisha went to Elijah and he said, here I am, I'm going to go with you. This is basically after you know, his spiritual father laid hands on him. He said, you know, what have I done to you? Go away from me.
Right.
And how many people, you know, when they hear this direct word from where God's called you to be, it's a firm word. And you get offended and you walk away from your destiny, get your feelings all hurt and stuff. And it's like, listen, I mean, think about it. This is a man, because he didn't get his feelings hurt, he was going to be part of the strategy of God that was going to deal with the ungodly leadership over Israel and decapitate all the heads of Ahab, mm-hmm. sons that are there, and restructure Israel again where it would serve God. And you have to understand, people want it to happen in their season in their life, but it's all connected. But they wouldn't have connected if Jehu wouldn't have connected to Elijah, if Elijah wouldn't have connected to Elijah, you know, this lineage, then Jezebel may still be there.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about that, that right now we have this strong, according to, I believe it was Chuck Pierce, the governmental lockup in the natural is because there's a governmental lockup in the church, and that God has to go into, the church needs to move into God's form of government. In other words, we either got to change our headships, or we got to, the headship has to change their viewpoints and
their hearts,
line up with
yeah.
God's form of government, which I believe is family. And then the earth government will change. And, you know, if my people who are called by my name will get their government right, then mm-hmm. you don't have to worry about the government where you live. And so in the context of that lineage was so important. So you have Elijah that's working. He's doing his carpentry job. He's doing his electronic job. He's doing his computer job. He's doing his sales job. He was actually plowing a field. Elijah comes along and he throws his mantle over him, prays for him, and then walks on.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately he responded. Think about this. How many people missed the call of God because they didn't immediately respond? They wanted to think too much. I am so tired of thinkers. I mean, not intelligent. I love intelligent. I love listening to intelligent people talk because, you know, I'm not. So I can kind of get conversation. But I'm taking what God clearly says without any shadow of doubt. It's not complicated.
Mm.
And then taking it in your mind, your finite mind, and you don't even know how to work out calculus. You don't even know what a logarithm is, and you don't know how a computer works, and you haven't even read the manual on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to change what God is doing is just instead of saying, okay, God, I'm going to follow you the way the disciples followed Jesus. And immediately he responded, and he took his job. He took his work. He took the plow, and he broke it up, and he burned it, and he just took off after God, what God was doing. And he stayed in right relationship with a spiritual father. And because of that, a double portion of what God was doing inside the river of God that was flowing through Elijah, a double portion of that river came into Elijah. So he did twice as many things for God in the context of it, miracles and this type of things, than what God was doing through Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
And Elijah, a spiritual father, would be going, that's great. Thank God. Especially if you go off in a chariot, which that's not going to happen again. And so, but then it was Elisha that ran in there suddenly and laid hands on the strategy of God. Think about it. Some people say, well, you know, we got to do this. We got to do this. No, God could have you run into a situation because you stay rightly related. Think about this. Because you stay rightly related, because you're carrying the mantle, because you're abiding with God and you're hearing him. And all of a sudden, one day he says in your abiding time, listen, there's a man named Jehu. He's a general. He's going to be in this little cubby hole over here in the city. I want you to run in there. I want you to lay hands on him. I want you to prophesy to him and tell him what's going on. And I want you to take off. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. You always want, like, if you're Jehu, you're like, God, wouldn't it have been better if everybody heard that you're actually wanting me to do this thing, you know, but nobody heard. No, it was just that. But Jehu, just like Elijah, took it and ran with it. And it was amazing how God anointed. Think about it. You're looking at a double of a double of a double, and Jehu comes in there with such a force and such wisdom. He knows not even get close to Jezebel. He knows how to throw a Baal party to bring everybody together to be able to deal with the prophets of Baal and the followers of Baal, and shifts. He has the guts to shift God's people back to God. You know, think about it. It's just an amazing thing. And but imagine all of that, because those are the wells of our fathers. That if we say, you know, we don't need to redig no wells. You know, what is Elijah talking about? You know, he had his day in the sun. You know, I'm Elisha. I don't need. First of all, it's like, is that how you treat human beings?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Is that how you treat? I've seen, as a matter of fact, I'm looking at government where where the hub is, where we have the hub and we have the Dream Center. And there was two men. Mm. There was two men in that city. There in those hurricanes that came into the Escambia County, Pensacola area, mm-hmm. One was the sheriff. His name was Ron McNesby. Mm-hmm. And the other was a county administrator, and his name was George Tuart. And he's just recently, after left, he passed away. And these two men, Pat, The county commissioners told George Tuart, he says, they said, we're not even going to vote over nothing. You just take this thing, because everything was damaged. The hurricane came through. It was just destroyed.
Chaos.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And Sheriff Ron McNesby and George Tuart single-handedly, by the grace of God, begin to take the community, which was destroyed, and they began to just do what they do. And they led. You had authority. You had government. And those two came together and just began to just deal with things and spend the money you had to spend and do. They didn't have to go to the commissioners to be able to get votes, because they said, listen, just go with this thing. We got to come out of this thing. Mm-hmm. And so then that was huge. Mm-hmm. That was so huge. And before he passed, by the way, I got a chance to speak to him in December, and he passed in January, and he was on vacation with his wife, George, that I got a chance to tell him how thankful I was for what he did. He and Ron McNesby did in the community, because that was the community that I was in. That I'm in. And, but I've seen him dishonored. You know, you can move people from here and there, and you can do different things, but you still can honor someone. Yeah. I mean, even understand this, that even in the church, the Lord says, honor those amongst you, and honor, you know, the older men and the older women as mothers and fathers, you know, and honor the women and the men as brothers and sisters. And I mean, imagine if it's just a natural family, how that moves your heart when you honor each other. And when we're four and we jump into dishonor, and that was a huge dishonor in the eyes of God. And it's almost, there's a struggle now going on in that particular, you know, county, because it can't come out of it. And it's almost like, you know, a repentance has to happen. You know, we've dishonored those that had labored and had done so much for that community down there. Mm-hmm. And God's into honor. Mm-hmm. He is into honor. And understand, I can tell you your destiny if you tell me who you honor. Steve Kalaseski.
Hello, hello.
We're so glad to be able to have you and what God's doing. I got some things I want to hear from. We want to hear what, you know, God is saying to you in the context of the third well. We're talking about redigging the wells and... you know, and God beginning to, in the same land, the same place, all of a sudden God begins to move. But what's interesting is God has been speaking to us about redigging the wells. Mm-hmm. You know, a friend of ours and also a prophet, you know, Brett Holderbaum, who's in the high place, mm-hmm. thank God, of Colorado. At the same time, we're talking about redigging the wells, and God's been stirring on our heart about what's happening. God speaks a word and he makes it a better. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear this word right now. This is Brett Holderbaum speaking a prophetic word over the region that we're talking about.
This morning, I was just getting stirred in the spirit, and I heard the Lord say a couple of things, and I wanted to share them with you and the VFN family. The Lord says there's been some wells, and he said that the area that the hub operates, he said there's wells. And he says, you're digging up the wells, son. You're digging up the wells. The wells have been there. And he said, right now they were being held up by man and man's religion. And the Lord said, son, I've given you authority. I've given you authority over those wells. He said, you're going to go in and you're going to unplug those wells. And out of those wells will cause rivers to flow. And these rivers will flow. These rivers will flow upstream to a nation. We know that rivers flow downstream, but the Lord says, in my kingdom, these rivers will flow upstream. These rivers will touch a nation. And he said, the ones that go downstream, the ones that go to the Gulf, he said, those are going to affect the nations. So understand, son, that I've given you authority, and these wells will go, they will not only go downstream, but they'll go upstream. They'll affect a nation, and they'll affect this nation, and they will affect the nations. And so the authority that comes, the Lord says he's assembling an army. He's assembling the army. He said, son, I'm giving you authority over the city. I'm giving you authority over the region. I'm giving you authority over the nation. So know that it's coming, son. It's coming. He said, I've called you to be a father. He said, you're going to father many. You're going to father many. And out of your offspring will father many also. So know that this is just the beginning. The Lord says he's stirring, he's stirring, he's stirring. He's stirring a people up. He's stirring a people. People are dissatisfied. They're looking for the one true God. He said, you're going to connect them to the one true God. You're going to connect them to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
When God is, and it was so confirming, what's interesting about God was going to stir a heart of a prophet, and in Colorado, and confirm exactly. It's beautiful when it's almost like Jeremiah Johnson in the different areas confirming what God is doing. And to hear that, and we just thank you, Brett, for just obeying the Lord and responding to that. And it's encouraging because that's what we're talking about, is we dig in the wells and what God is doing. And when you think about the lighthouse prophecy and what God, through Bob Jones, God had released that word and confirmed it through Young E. Cho, confirmed it again through Paul Keith Davis and Yolanda, who we'll talk about as well. But God's moving this prayer mountain, fire mountain, and all that in the particular area. But it's 700 ministers. I mean, think about it. They can, I think, minister to 250,000 people at one time. Mm-hmm. 700 ministers who obviously understand we're the family of God and we're together in this. You know what I'm saying? And and it's amazing when you see God just confirming. It's exciting. It's humbling and understanding. You know, we got to really pay close attention. And I think about all the wonderful ministers in the region, in the panhandle, who love God and who are laboring, and the ones that are even praying for a move of God and revival. And I can't wait, you know, that hopefully, you know, the Lord's going to allow us all to work together for what he wants to do in the land. And I know that Steve, you were happened to be, you know, of all the particular of communities that the Lord has begun to stir, you know, our heart with, and talked about planting or establishing the VFM Dream Center, was the Brownsville community, to our amazement, because God did so much at a church at 3100 West DeSoto Street with the Brownsville Revival and Outpouring, which Brother John Kilpatrick, a spiritual father of mine, would just pastor that thing in such a powerful way, along with Steve Hill, who just had a memorial there at that place. And now it's being pastored by Pastor Evan Horton is there. And but you're walking in the community, and it was interesting. Tell us about this encounter that you had about the hunger, how people are crying out with Gail.
Yeah, there was a lady that we encountered over the weekend, and she just began sharing just that journey that she even went through before God broke out in Brownsville in 1995.
Brownsville Assembly of God. Yeah.
Correct, in Brownsville Assembly of God. Early before 1995, that she was praying and praying and just believing God to move, and God did. And since then, God has just been speaking to her, just begin to just believe God that he would move just as powerfully.
Right. Well, and she got discouraged, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And she even said, she's like, God, I don't know if I have the faith for that. And God was just speaking to her and encouraging her. And just being able to be in that moment and just share with her what God's been saying and how God brought us to Pensacola and say, believe me for greater things. Believe me for greater things. She was just began to just be on fire and just be encouraged and just say, yes, yes, Lord. And right in the middle of the street and just believe in God to do it again.
And the thing I thought was pretty interesting about that was when God was directed her to go back to the fathers, go back, remember the stories of the fathers of those that have gone before you.
Right.
And began to redig the wells. Remember what God has done. And, as you know, in the first message is when God broke out in a powerful way at Brownsville Assembly of God on Father's Day 1995 was remembering the wonders of the Lord. And Steve Hill, the evangelist there, was rightly related and for quite some time with Brother John Kilpatrick, but he was focused and he studied again and again and just, you know, connected with what God had done and was believing God. And he could see God doing these things because he knows that it's been done before. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so he connected us to the context of, if God did that, we can see an entire nation go after him. We can see, you know, entire schools just break out in revival. We could see government shift. We could see the glory of God. And there's a word we're going to have, hopefully, this week, we're going to share with you that came out during that. Talking about the time is short. It was delivered in an abiding time from the Lord to Steve. And I believe that that word is a now word talking about the coming of the Lord is near. It is, understand, prepare yourself and understand. But the greatest harvest that we've ever seen will happen before that takes place. And Bob Jones, the word of God was him, was you would see the beginning of a billion souls. And he's just gone recently to go be with the Lord. And so get ready for the biggest harvest you've ever seen, that the world has ever seen on the face of the earth.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers. all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well. We want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not, we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today, or become a sponsor or underwriter, and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.